احمده وصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافه وقال تبارك وتعالى ان الدين عند الله الاسلام وقال تبارك وتعالى اطيعوا الله واطيعوا الرسول فَإِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ فَإِنَّمَا عَلَىٰ رَسُولِنَا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينُ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَزِيزُ. Dear brothers and sisters and beloved boys and girls, yesterday I told you a few things about Iman, because that is the fundamental and the most basic term of our religion. Today I want to speak on another basic and fundamental term of our religion, and that is Islam. And connected with that is the word ita'ah, or ita'at, as we, the Urdu-speaking people, usually pronounce. Now, I told you that basically Iman is accepting the claim of a person that he is a prophet, and revelation has come to him from Almighty Allah, and whatever he is saying, he is not saying out of his own thinking, out of his own argument, but it is the word of Allah that he is communicating and preaching. So, if one accepts his claim, then he is a mu'min. Now, whatever he says, that person has to accept it. Now, if we think upon it, there are two types of things that the prophets have told us. One is about the nature of the existence and the realities of our life, this life as well as the life which is to come, that is the life after death. These things, we believe in them on the authority of the Prophet. Although they are unseen for us, we have not seen Allah, but we believe in Him because the Prophet says. And He tells us that these are the attributes of Allah, and we have to accept them, believe in them. Then we have to believe in the existence of the angels. Although they are invisible, we have not seen them. But we believe in their existence on the authority of the Prophet. We believe in the life after death. We believe in resurrection. All these things are yet to come. And nobody who has died has come back to tell us what happened after death. So all these things, they are of the unseen. So Iman basically is believing in the unseen. That is why in the very beginning in Surah Al-Baqarah, this term has come, أَلَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. They believe in those things which they can't see for themselves. They are beyond their perception. But they believe in them on the authority of the Prophet. The Prophet has told us in the existence of Allah, and he has told us about the resurrection and the life after death, and the existence of paradise and hell, and the existence of angels. So all these things we believe on the authority of the Prophet, because we have accepted him as the Prophet. That revelation comes to him directly from Allah. Now the other side of the teachings of the Prophet, they are the do's and the don'ts. You do this, this is obligatory on you. You have to say 5 prayers a day. You have to pay this zakah. If accumulation of wealth has reached a certain limit that we call nisab, you have to pay the zakah. And you have to observe the fasting in the month of Ramadan. Now these are the do's. The prophets have told us that you have to do this. And then there are the don'ts. Don't tell a lie. Don't eat pork. Don't drink wine. No adultery. No fornication. All these things are the don'ts. So the do's and the don'ts, which are communicated by the prophets, now the question is that we have to accept these things because we have accepted him as the Prophet. وَمَا يَنْتَقُ عَلِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَىٰ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He is not saying these things out of his own, but these are the do's and don'ts which have been communicated to him through revelation from Allah, God Almighty. So this is Islam. When you accept these things and you surrender, and you accept these things in your action, then it is Islam. Islam means to surrender and to obey.
That is why I told you that a very closely related term to Islam is itaah or itaat, as we usually pronounce it. What is itaah? Obedience. You have to obey the Prophet. And actually you are obeying Allah. Because whatever the Prophet is saying, he is not saying out of his own, but it is the word of Allah which has been communicated to him. So obedience to Allah and obedience to the Prophet, to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is the logical outcome of Iman and Islam. If you say that you are a Muslim, if you say that you are a Mu'min, and you don't accept the commands and the commandments, then there is a contradiction in what you say and what you practice. And that is something which is Allah, our Lord, it doesn't like at all. In Surah As-Saff, Allah says, لِمَا تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ كَبُرَ مَقْتًا إِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Why do you say that you don't practice? And this is very unpleasing to Allah, that you say something and don't practice it. So when you say you are a mu'min and you have accepted Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as your leader, as the Prophet of Allah, and when you say that you are a Muslim, you have surrendered your will before the Prophet and Allah, and you accept their commandments, you accept whatever they say, then you have to obey them. Atiyu Allah wa atiyu Rasul. Obey Allah and obey His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fa in tawallaytum, and if you turn your faces away, you don't want to obey them, then fama ala rasulina al-balaghul mubin. On our Prophet, the only responsibility is that he has to communicate the words of Allah to you, and that's all. He is not responsible for your behavior. You will be held responsible for how you behave. So these two terms, they are very close to each other. Islam means surrendering before Allah, before His will, before His commandments. And itaat also means that you are obeying the commandments of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these are nearly synonymous terms. And this is the logical outcome of Iman. If you have accepted the claim of a Prophet that he is a Prophet, and you start believing in whatever he is telling you about the unseen even. You don't see Allah and you don't see the angels and you don't see the paradise and the hell, but you believe in their existence on the authority of the Prophet. The other part of that is that you have to obey whatever they have commanded, and you have to accept it. And whatever they have forbidden, as it said in Surah Nisa, I think, مَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever the Prophet gives you, you accept it. And whatever he forbids you to do, you have to accept that also. So this is the itaah in Islam. And now, second thing is that we have to be consistent in our behavior. If we accept certain commands of Allah and certain commandments from His Prophet, but we reject the other commandments, this amounts actually to total rejection. Because the obedience, either it is total or it is partial. And partial obedience is no obedience at all. If you accept certain things and don't accept the others, while the source is the same, the source is the revelation, the source is the Prophet, the source is Allah Himself. But if you accept certain commandments and don't accept others, this amounts to the rejection of all. This is very important. I recited the verse, the ayah from Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ادْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً. O those who have come to believe, who profess that they believe in Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you must enter into the fold of Islam as a whole, completely. You don't accept it partially. It's an organic whole. Either give it, either take it as a whole, or leave it as a whole. So you have to accept that attitude in life, and you should be consistent in your behavior, that when you accept Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you have to accept all the commandments from them and all the do's and don'ts which they have given us. And that is contained in another verse of Quran, another ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Do you accept some of our commandments, a part of our book, and you reject the other part, the other portion of it? أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضٍ فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. The punishment of those who take this attitude in life, that they accept certain commandments of Allah and they reject the others, the only punishment that is worthy of them, they are worthy of the punishment, and that punishment is that in this world they will be put to khizyun fil hayati dunya, dishonor and humiliation, and in the world to come and in the akhirah, in yawm al qiyamah, they will be sent to the hell, and the worst of the punishments will be for them. Because this is hypocrisy, simple, that you accept certain commandments of Allah and you reject the others. So this obedience has to be total, has to be throughout the life, has to be in all the commandments and all the do's and don'ts that we have received from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And actually, these are not from the Prophet himself, but these are the words of Allah, these are the commandments of Allah, which the Prophet has communicated to us. So this is Islam and this is Ita'ah. And as I've told you, these two things are very much synonymous to each other. Now there is a third term also. And that is, we can say, that is a further step in this direction. And that is ibadah or worship. The concept of worship in Islam is very different from the concept of worship in other religions. In other religions, worship is only some rituals and some modes of worship. But in Islam, ibadah means something much more than worship. That is total obedience to Allah. But the obedience that can be perforce also, that you are forced to obey someone. And other form of obedience is out of love. If you obey Allah out of love for Him, now this obedience now becomes ibadah. Because abd, he is a slave. You become slave to Allah. But this slavery is not forced upon you. But it is voluntary. You yourself accept to be the slave to Allah and to be a bondsman to Allah, because abd means a bondsman or a slave. So ibadah, when you are absolutely obedient to Allah, and this obedience is not out of any force, but it is voluntary. It comes from the love of Allah. Then it is called ibadah. And this is actually the main purpose of our creation. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created men and the jinns, but only so that they should worship me, they should be abd to me, they should accept my bondsmanship or slavery. So this is the purpose of our creation, or to be more exact, this is the purpose of this life that we are passing on this planet, in this world. We have to be slaves to Allah, and this slavery has to be out of love for Him, not as something being forced upon us in contradiction to our own wishes, but it is voluntary and we accept it ourselves. This is ibadah, and this is not a simple affair, not an easy thing. You have to resist your own baser self in order to obey Allah and be abd to Him. You have to resist your own baser self, the commands that He come out of us from our nafs. You have to disobey it, because sometimes your nafs says, do this, and you find that this is forbidden from Allah and I can't do it. So you have to resist the lust in you, or as the psychologists say, the libido or the id in ourselves, that the commands of that libido, we have to contain those commands within the limits which are provided and which are permitted by Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you have to resist. Then there is the pressure of the society. The society is pushing you in some direction, and that takes you in the direction of the forbidden. You have to resist that pressure in order to be real abd to Allah. If you want to be Allah's abd and slaves, you have to resist your own self, the baser self in you, the libido or the id. And then you have to resist the social pressure. Because if the society that is not of Ibadullah. The people, you know, they are doing whatever they like to do. They don't accept the commandments of Allah. They don't accept that this is to eat, this thing is forbidden. And to drink, this thing is forbidden. Now the society is as such, you have to resist the pressure of the society. If you want to be an abd to Allah, if you want to perform ibadah towards Allah, then you have to resist all these pressures. The pressure coming from your within your own self. The pressures coming from without. Unless you resist all these pressures, you can't perform the ibadah, which is the basic function which we have to perform in this life of ours. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Now what is ibadah? Let me tell you a saying of Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. He has very beautifully enunciated what is the concept of ibadah in Islam. Al-ibadatu tajma'u aslain. Ghayat al-hubb ma ghayat al-zull wal-khudu. There are two pillars on which rests this concept of ibadah in Islam. Number one, extreme love for Allah. Ghayat al-hubb. This love of Allah, we should come out from the very bottoms of our hearts, from the depths of our hearts. This love of Allah, and then you prostrate before Allah. Ghayat al-zull wal-khudu. And you submit to His wills. Do you submit to His commands? When these two things come together, this is ibadah. And this ibadah in Islam, as I told you, it covers all the attitude in our life, the whole life. You have to be an abd when you are in your home, in your family. You have to be an abd when you are doing something to earn your livelihood. If you are keeping a shop and you are a shopkeeper, you are trading. You have to be an abd. You have to trade according to the commandments of Allah. If interest is forbidden, you can't go in for it. You can't either take or give interest because it is forbidden from Allah. So all your activity in all the spheres of our life, it has to be within the limits that have been laid down in the Quran and the Sunnah, or we may call it by Allah or His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So ibadah is a very wide concept of in Islam. It is not just modes of worship and some rituals. There are rituals also. But those rituals actually, they are there to help us to perform this ibadah in the bigger sense, in the wider sense. And I'll inshallah speak tomorrow on these modes of worship. That is the salah and psalm and zakah and hajj. These are the four modes of worship. We may call them rituals, although they are not rituals in the exact sense of the word. But we may call them rituals. They are obligatory on us. And we have to perform salah as has been ordained by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But you know, the concept of ibadah is much more wider. It's you all embracing concept. It embraces the whole life of man and a woman. And it embraces all the aspects of life. That you have to be an abd. You have to be a bondsman to Allah. You have to behave as a slave to Allah. And this slavery has to be total. It has to embrace all the aspects of our lives. And we have to obey Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all the spheres of life. So these three terms, which are very much interconnected, interrelated, and in their meaning they are very close to each other, that is Islam, you surrender your free will before Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I accept you as the commander. You command and I'll obey. Now the other thing is obedience. Atiyu Allah wa atiyu Rasul. You have to obey Allah and you have to obey His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when the element of love is added to this obedience, to this Islam and itah, then this is the concept of ibadah. Obeying Allah out of love for Him, out of immense love for Him. If you are doing this, this is ibadah for Allah. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. So you may call that these are three steps in the same direction. Islam is the beginning. When you surrender your free will to Allah, then obedience, and that obedience to Allah has to be through the obedience to the Prophet. Because the commandments of Allah have not come to us individually, but they have been communicated to the Prophet, and then the Prophet has communicated them to us. So we have to obey Allah as well as His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. We have not sent any prophet and messenger, but so that he should be obeyed in the name of Allah. with the permission of Allah. We are not obeying them in their persons, but we are obeying them as the Rasul of Allah. They are the messengers of Allah. The words of Allah have been revealed to them. And the third concept, and which is the climax, as I think, that is the concept of ibadah, when this obedience that comes to be out of immense love for Allah. Now this attitude is ibadah. And that is the main purpose of this human life that we are passing in this world. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ And I have not created men and the jinns, but only so that they should worship me, they should do my ibadah, they should behave as slaves to me. So these are the three basic terms of our religion, which I wanted to explain to you today. And now there is some time left. If there is any question, I would be pleased to answer. Surely this question consists of two questions. The ultimate why. Why God created this universe? This is very difficult to answer. There are certain whys you must know, that where you have to stop and you can't argue any further. Why Allah created all these things? We don't know. It's out of His free will. He did it. We have to accept He has created me. Why He has created me? That is with Him. That is His own discretion, His own sweet will. But the purpose of this life of ours, because yesterday I told you that the concept of life in Islam is much more wider than the concept of life with other people. Life, they say, is only this period of our life which we are passing in this world, from the birth in this world to the death. But according to Quran, life is a very long process. I recited to you a couplet from Allama Iqbal that hui se paimana hai imroz farda se na naap javeda paham dama hardam jama hai zindagi. And out of that long process of life, this small portion has cut off through by the death which is to come. And this life now, from birth to death, is a part of that life, and this is a period of testing. خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا In order to test you, who amongst you performs good deeds? So this is a period of testing which we are passing in this world. And in that testing period, if we obey Allah, if we accept His commands, if we try to please Him who is our creator and sustainer, who is our Lord, then we are successful in this test. And if we don't do that, then we are doomed and we will be sent to the fire of hell. So this becomes the purpose of this life of ours, that we have to obey Allah and His commandments. That is the answer to the second part of the question. But the first part of the question I told you, that is very difficult to answer. That is a very highly philosophical question. Why Allah created all this universe? This has been dealt with by the Sufia, but I don't propose to discuss these things here, because it becomes very difficult for certain people to understand. And I must say here that first part of the question, you have to leave it to Allah. He has created it. And He has not consulted us before creating us. That is out of His free will. He has created us. And because He has created us, He has to tell us what is the purpose of our creation. And He has told us that I have sent you in this world, this life, that is only for obedience to me. You accept me as your Lord and you accept my commandments. And then only in my eyes, in the eyes of the Creator, you will be successful in this life. Otherwise, you are doomed.
Dear brothers and sisters, please note our contact for audio and video speeches of Dr. Sar Ahmad. Maktaba Khuddamul Quran, Quran Academy, 36K Model Town, Lahore, Pakistan. Phone 9242-586-9501, 586-9502 and 586-9503. Our fax is 583-4000. You can send your emails on info@tanzeem.org. May Allah bless us with the understanding of Islam and give us the courage to act upon it. Ameen.